This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you doing?
Well, it's Saturday, and that, you know, that's the start of a wonderful, wonderful day.
And we're starting a July 4th holiday week.
I started to say that, and July 4th is just, you know, popsicles, hot dogs, hamburgers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, the American flag flying. Every little kid has a flag in their hand, and it's just, you know, everybody has parades and parades. And July 4th is a wonderful time.
It really is, and this is one of this is the big patriotic holiday where we actually go out and celebrate. You know, that's the whole point of it. Because sometimes there's other meanings behind the holiday, and we just turn it into a giant celebration and forget the real meaning. But this one really is a celebration from start to finish.
It really is. Think about 1772.
Yes.
You know, everything that's happened in this country. We should celebrate and celebrate that America is free and that we're all here.
Yeah.
And that our grandchildren are here, our children are, and gosh, everybody should eat as many hot dogs as they can.
Well, I try to live by that rule just about every day.
Well, I think everybody should. And, us Southerners, you know, like our hot dogs just, you know, a certain way. But I hear that up north they do sauerkraut. They do lots of stuff I would never even consider.
Yeah, I would never do that either. How do you like your hot dogs?
I want onions on it. I want relish on it and lots of mustard. And that's it.
Wow, wonderful.
I don't mess with a hot dog.
Excellent. Yeah.
And, you know, I just can't imagine any place in the world where you don't have hot dogs and hamburgers on 4th of July.
Yeah, and baked beans and corn.
Oh, yeah, baked beans and corn on the cob. Mm. I wasn't even going to go into all
and
that.
Ice cream and pie.
Lots of ice cream, yes, and lots of pie. Wow, we could have a giant celebration right here.
I know. We should have brought our own little picnic.
That's right, and I love the horses. Oh, my gosh, you know, there is so many riding teams here in Texas. You know, we're a horse country,
yeah.
And there's the most beautiful horses in the parades you've ever seen.
Yes.
And I just love all the floats. There just really isn't anything about July the 4th that I'm not in love with.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a point. And with it being on a Wednesday, you know, I've heard a lot of people say this week, oh, geez, so it's Wednesday, it's better when it's on a weekend. And, you know, but really, when it's right in the middle of the week, you can't really, you know, lean towards one weekend over the other to celebrate. So you got to celebrate on both. And then while you're at it, you might as well just take the week off. So the whole week is almost a throwaway.
Well, I love that. You do once in a while come up with some really good ideas. I mean, let's take the week off. Why not? I mean, this is America, and we're celebrating.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
I hate it that Benjamin Franklin is in here. You know, all of our great pioneers. Now, back then, they celebrated. You know, it was a small country back then, but, you know, all these guys, the inventors, the people that signed the Declaration of Independence, all these guys were great.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should try to do as much as they did, but 10 times more.
Yes, and I mean, they put so much on the line to start a brand new country, which is not easy. Open up a lemonade stand, you know, but to leave your homeland and to start a whole new country and create laws and all this, wow, it's just a massive undertaking, and it should be celebrating. So, happy Independence.
It should be celebrating. Yeah. And, you know, another thing we forgot, swimming. In the old swimming pools and the creeks and all these little old small lakes. I love that idea.
Oh, yeah.
And the kids jumping off the side, you know, of the docks. You know, it's just, and some of them do it with their dogs, and that's even more fun.
Yeah, it's the middle of summer. Get at it.
That's right. It's summertime in Texas, and nobody celebrates 4th of July like Texans.
I heard that.
And I'm thankful that we're all here and that we live in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Can
Amen.
You imagine if we lived anywhere but Texas?
No, absolutely not. There's 49 other states, and none of them are the same.
None of them are the same, and none of them have the advantages of Texas.
No, they don't.
You know what I mean? The people that started Texas, that lived and died for it, my gosh, we appreciate them. I mean, you know, there's so many wonderful things about the start of Texas as well as the start of America that I think is just tremendous.
Exactly. I think we also have the best weather, too.
We do. And thank goodness I've never been in Massachusetts or, you know, all these cold, cold places.
I know it.
And, you know, every winter, a lot of them don't even make it up there. It's so cold.
No, it's so cloudy and it's so cold and it stays that way for so long. It's, oh, my goodness, it's just dreary. And we don't go more than a couple hours with some clouds here.
I know. And what if we lived in Alaska? That is a sorry deal in their weather. Really sorry.
Yeah, so we're actually in the best state of the best country in the entire world. This is the place.
This is the place to be and nowhere else but Texas.
All right, so happy Independence Day and happy July 4th.
That's right. So do you think we should tell people about how to retire?
I think we should. What's your phone number?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And like you say, this is all about growing your money so you can retire happy and wealthy and early. And that's the plan. And I know we talk about the plan. I know we talk about investments. We don't always connect them. Because I know a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine, a lot of people I've talked to, especially in the last several weeks, they're tied up in Wall Street. And a lot of them have this mentality of, I'm going to get richer quicker, you know, even if it hasn't happened yet. They've been in Wall Street for years and years, and they keep saying, I know it's going to happen. I'm going to hit that one investment, and boom, I'm just going to, that's going to be everything. It's almost like winning the lottery, especially as unstable as things are these days. And so it just makes me nervous when they put all their eggs in that basket and their entire retirement is hanging on one thread. How do you assess the situation?
Well, I know that I wouldn't do it that way. But look who I am. You know, I'm conservative. Our program is conservative. And I would not take 100% risk if I'm 50 and older.
Yeah.
Okay? So I think if you're 50 years old, you don't have a lot of time to get ready to retire, you know, be conservative. Do something that you know is going to come through. In other words, they think the stock market's going to hold. They've thought this how many times over the last 20 years? And it's went down, you know, ever so many years, it just suddenly cracks. And it goes down. People lose money. They thought they had it ready. And then they start over again.
Mm-hmm.
Every so many years, everybody starts over. And I would rather have part of my money, at least some of it, enough that I could do something with in a secure investment that I know that the bank is handling it, that I know every day where the money is, and that I can't lose a portion of that money. To me, that's really important. And everybody has their own feelings toward it. But I know all of our investors are always ready when they have a policy mature, they're ready to do it again. They want to roll that over and get their money ready for retirement. And I feel the same way, that I don't want to take any risk. And every once in a while, someone will say, "Hey, we have this great deal in a foreign country, let's say Australia, and we've got this penny stock that's going to go through the roof." Let me tell you something. I would not invest in a penny stock if it was free.
Really?
No. Penny stock's not, it's just on the pink sheets. I mean, the risk is 1,000,000 to 1. a million to one.
Mm-mm.
And this particular investment, I won't tell you what oil company it's with. It may pan out, and I may be completely wrong, but I will not put any money. A friend of mine has a lot of money in it.
Oh, really?
And if he loses it, you know, it's a lot of money to lose.
Somebody could easily get wiped out.
I'm saying very easily.
See, it almost seems like if you've got the wrong investment, I know people look at, you know, not only the different types of investments, you know, whether we're talking about Wall Street or, you know, like you're talking about with this company or, you know, something like a life settlement. There's all these different varieties of life settlements, but then investments. But then once you pick one, say like Wall Street, then you've got to find the right stock and you've got to make sure you're into the right investment once you select a sector to get involved with. And it almost seems like, and I don't want to scare anybody, but I don't think we're saying anything that most people don't know. It's almost like a game of chutes and ladders, a very dangerous game of chutes and ladders. You go up a little bit, but then you could just as easily land in the wrong spot. Something could happen. And then all of a sudden, you're back to square one.
That's right. And now there's a lot of people have made a lot of money in the stock market, but then we have a lot of customers who never have recovered. Mm-hmm. I thought everybody had recovered. But, you know, I talk about that couple in Odessa a lot, that they're back working, and that's not fun.
And how old are they?
68 and 70.
Oh, see, that's when you want to be not working. That's not when you want to go back to work.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of my clients retired early, and they're not regretting that at all. They made enough money, they could do it, and they're just happy as they can be. So, you know, that's a good thing. And I've got a lot of people going to retire this year. But they're well-positioned. You know, we've worked hard with them. They've been with me several years. They've made quite a bit of money. I've got the one customer that's had 20 policies mature. That's a lot. And, you know, we know it's all handled by the bank. We know that somebody can't run off with their money. You know, all these things that we count really important, we have done on this investment. First of all, the money is never with Faye Bagby. It's never with one of my companies. Nobody can abscond with their money. The policy is always at the bank. And then the bank pays you when it matures. The bank is in charge of getting your premiums paid. So, you know, we've taken every risk out that we can. Nobody can take 100% risk out. So you do have risk, you will always have risk, as long as you're alive on this earth. But we've tried to lessen that risk.
You know, it's like when we're talking about these types of investments and ways to grow your wealth, we're talking about numbers. We're talking about facts, because the numbers don't lie. We see the money that people have made. We have seen, you know, how long it takes. We've seen the growth potential. We've seen what people have been able to do with their profits when they're getting involved with a life settlement. So what is, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, so I may be putting you on the spot, but what is the best reason that you can think of, you know, when we put all the numbers together and we look at just, you know, what's on a spreadsheet, what is the best reason to get involved with a life settlement?
Well, now to me, the best reason, the first is your safety. You know, it didn't go anywhere. But the next thing is your profit. It's consistent. When you sign a contract, you know what you're going to make. The date could be off as to when you're going to get paid, but you know you're going to get your principal back, which is really important. You know that you're going to get your profit, and you know that it might take longer, it might be early, you may make this money a little early, it may be on time, and it could be a year or two late. But as long as you're a qualified investor, it will not hurt you to wait an extra 12 months or so. And we take that into consideration. Every time we do a policy, can you go 18 months? Can you go 27 months? If you can't go that long, don't do it. You know, and our people are all diversified. They may have 10 policies. They may have two or three that are short term, 12 months, 18 months, 24, 27. Everything is diversified where you'll have something coming due, should have something coming due all the time. We still have those three or four old policies that have never come due. When they do, we'll be out of that mess. that those people are old. We no longer ever have done an old person since that happened. You know, they're 90. This one guy is 94 and a half years old and is not dead yet.
Wow.
So we learned the hard way. It's been a long, hard lesson. Never do a senior. They're wonderful. We love them, but they do not pass away. They're going to outlive me, you, and everybody in town, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because, yeah, they're in their 90s and they're not sick. They're old, but they are not sick. You know, we've checked on these policies, and we just have not seen the light at the end of the tunnel. So we're very cautionary now. We're very careful who we buy. We don't want to buy anything that is not, you know, over 70 years old. And most of ours are 50 to 65 years old, you know. And it works. And this has worked over and over. And, you know, every 2 to 3 months, we go back. We look at everything. We look at the spreadsheets. We look at what the clients have made. Is there anything we can do better? Is there anything we could change? And we look and see, you know, what types of cancer are coming up the shortest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not changing. That has stayed steady ever since we started.
How does new developments in cancer treatment, how does that affect this type of investment? Because I know you're looking at policies and things like that. Are there like some symptoms now or things that you're looking for that maybe you weren't when you're considering bidding on policies, or some that maybe you used to consider, hey, this might be a great policy, but due to some recent treatments and developments in cancer treatments that maybe you might be backing off on now?
Well, not so far. Now, they've got a lot of new cancer treatments coming, but a lot of them are like $1 million.
Wow.
So we're not, we can't depend on that yet. So they are making a lot of strides in cancer if they're getting it early, you know, if they're catching it within 6 months to a year. But all the ones we're buying are people that did not catch it early. They didn't see the symptoms. There were no symptoms. And so that they're not going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time I look at, you know, a stomach cancer, you know, there's no symptoms. They don't know they've got it. You know, all the different cancers that we do, you know, colon cancer is deadly. And there's just so many that we do that those have not changed in the last 2 or 3 years.
And
they may.
I know
5, 10 years from now, it may be, you know, they may have cured a lot of them, but they haven't right now.
Yeah, yeah. I've started to hear some rumblings, and it may have been sometime in the last couple of weeks, that there may be a pill that people may be able to take at some point. Obviously, it's not, you know, anywhere near being on the market, but I hear these rumblings, and I know that sometime back you took a trip to, you'll have to fill in the details here, but I remember you took a trip to some kind of a research hospital or something and took a tour. What?
Yeah, UT Southwest.
Okay.
Yes, and they have, you know, all of this cancer research going on, and that's the department that I've been interested in. But it's so far away. It's just a long way out. They're keeping some people that are friends of mine alive, but they haven't been able to get rid of the cancer. And, you know, it may happen in the future. It might be 4, 5, 10 years away that they may cure a lot of these. But right now they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's still so many people coming to us to sell their policies, you know. You know, pancreatic cancer, you know, is really the most deadly, in my opinion. And we've bought a lot of those. We've had a lot of them come due. And we've only had one of those that's went over. But usually, if you read it and you're reading it, and it says it is inoperable. We cannot operate on it because of where it's at. Then you know that person's not going to live over 18 months and probably 10.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them that way. And breast cancer is deadly. And, you know, we buy a lot of breast cancer. We've had an awful lot of breast cancer policies mature this year and last year. And we've learned more and more about that and how they need to be doing regular treatment rather than going to Mexico and trying all this oil and all this things that you and I never heard of. And they do try it, and they believe it's going to work, and it doesn't. And they come home, and then the treatment is farther behind. But you remember the guy we talked about last week on the policy? He said, I want to go home and die with dignity.
Yes, yes.
You know, And lots of times they don't do that, you know. They end up dying in, you know, in a hospital or somewhere else because it was so bad they were trying to keep them comfortable there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, I want to be in my own home. And so we read all this, and we know how bad they are. And we know if they've said, stop all treatment. And we've bought a lot this year that they said, we've been through so much, we can't do anything else. Our body is not, just can't take any more. So those people, you know, are the ones we try to buy because they need the money and they need it now. And a lot of them, if they're wealthy, they just want to settle their estate. They don't want the family doing it after they pass away. They say, look, the family's not getting along real well. We want to do this ourselves. And they'll come in and settle up with everything. So you never know. But we're working all the angles for the people, trying to get them the money that they need and trying to make a profit for our clients. So it helps both ends.
Yeah, we obviously, you know, as human beings, we want anybody who is diagnosed with cancer, we want them to survive it, and we want them to beat it. But like you say, there gets to that point where, you know, the patient knows, okay, there's nothing more that we can do. We've been through everything we can think of. It sometimes, you know, I hear people say all the time that that, you know, the treatment of cancer is sometimes worse than the disease itself because it is so taxing on the body. And then mentally, you know, you go through these things and you may beat it for a little bit and then it comes back and it just, you get into that place where it's like, okay, I feel defeated. I don't want to put my body through this anymore. Let me just, you know, live out my days the best I can. But when they get to that point, they realize, okay, I've got to do something with my estate. Or if they choose to, you know, keep going with treatments, that can be very expensive. It's very easy to quickly run out of money after several months of cancer treatments because it's so expensive. And so at that point, they need to go ahead and sell their policy. And so that's how you end up with these policies for people to invest in.
That's exactly right. And of course, our clients, you know, we're trying to get them to retirement. We want to retire early, happy, and wealthy. And wealth is different for every person. A lot of people, what they consider wealth is not, you know, really a huge amount of wealth. And then we've got a lot of people that, you know, they need $400,000 a year to live on.
Yeah.
And if that is their scenario, we have to work hard, and we have to work these policies as fast as we can in reality.
Yeah, and you say what it takes? Is it a million dollars?
That is. What just a simple deal would be $1 million.
Yeah.
Because remember, if you need $50,000 a year, it's not going to last very long.
Right.
Unless you've got good income coming in. You've got to stay out of your principal. And if you can stay out of the principal and live on interest, you're going to do really well. But if you're having to get into the principal is just going to keep going down, down, down until there's anything left. And nobody wants to try to live on Social Security.
Oh, no, no, no.
That ain't going to work well.
Have you ever seen the reverse happen? Have you ever seen somebody plan on a certain amount of retirement? They say, okay, I need this much per year. But then they actually end up doing so well, and they are actually living at a higher level after retirement than they were before. Have you ever seen anything like that happen?
Well, most of our people are living as good after retirement, in fact, a little bit better than when they worked. Because, you know, as I say, every day is a vacation. They can do something new and different every day as long as their health holds up.
Yeah.
So a lot of our people, the first 5 years especially, they're having a great time. They're still young enough to go and do things. Now, after 5 years, they're usually slowing down a lot. So they're not usually using as much money after the first five. But the first 5 years, they're going to use the maximum amount they can every year because they're having fun.
Yeah,
okay?
They get there and then they get to that point where they retire and they pretty much blow it out for 5 years. And then they've done everything that's on their bucket list and they kind of scale it back a little.
That's right. Then they start scaling back and say, well, you know, I don't really want to do that much. But men never quit playing golf. I can tell you that one deal. They're going to play golf until until you have to carry them out to the golf course.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yes, and so retired men, there's always a group of them together. I don't know if you've noticed. Certain groups go to, and they go at 6 a.m. or 7. They get it done before it gets hot. Then we've got the groups that don't care. They'll just go out. They don't care how hot it is. They're going to play golf. And then we've got the Saturday golfers, and they play golf only on Saturdays. Then we've got people who never played golf in their life, and these are the guys that are going fishing, doing all kinds of things. A lot of them buy a lake house, and they buy a boat. Then we've got the people who have a ranch, and these are the hardy, really hardy people, and they're still doing their cattle. They're still, enjoying the ranch, and they go out there with their pickups, with their horses, and they're just a different breed. So we've got all kinds of people retiring. We've got several people that have a couple of ranches. I've got people with great big ranches and small ranches. And then I've got the type of people who are just want a retirement house. They don't want to live in the house they lived all those years. They want a new house, so they're going to buy or build. I've got some people building a new house, and they're in their 70s.
Oh, wow.
Saying, we need a new house.
But they're paying cash. They're not financing. There's no more.
All of these people are paying cash. Nobody is financing anything at retirement age. No. They cannot do that because it would change everything about the dynamics of the retirement.
A person cannot go into retirement if they have debt. Is that right?
No, you cannot. You need to have everything paid for, and everybody buys a new pickup the day they retire, you know. I say that all the time. Not everybody, but a lot of my people do. And they're going to get the pickup they always wanted. It's going to be the King Ranch pickup with all the leather. It's
going to
be nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And people buy more Fords than they do Chevrolets, I can tell you, and Ram pickups. No. Most men that I know have an F-250 or an F-150.
Wow.
They like the big boy.
Yeah.
And, and they get rid of that old pickup that they drove to work. They had 200,000 miles on it. And now they've got a new pickup, and they're hitting the road.
Is it because it's like a symbolic thing where they're entering a new phase, need a new pickup truck, or just because they can?
I think it's a new phase. They go, look, I drove that old thing all those years. It was rough on my body and everything else. But now I won't be going out on those old country roads anymore. I don't work for an oil company anymore. And I want something nice.
Yeah.
And they will get something nice.
So,
and then the wife says, I need something nice. And she remodels a whole dadgum house.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we have had that happen, I can assure you.
So while the men are out hunting or fishing and playing on the ranch, the mama's back home redecorating, remodeling, and doing all that.
Oh, yeah. And she wants it to really look nice, you know. And she wants to have her grandkids more often. And they do. And one of our clients told me this week, well, it's all over. I said, what is it? Well, my grandkids are graduating from high school and college this week. They don't need me anymore. And that's a sad, sad thing.
Yeah.
You know, they've done things with their kids ever since I've known this couple. And their grandkids, they took them on trips with them every summer. One of my clients bought an RV, an expensive one, about 200-something thousand, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Just to take the grandkids to Disneyland.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. And they're close to their family. Their family lives down the street from all their kids live within 3 or 4 blocks of each other.
Oh, wow. How neat.
And they all go on vacations together. They do a lot of things. So all my clients have different agendas. But I love every one of them, what they're planning on doing. It's pretty great.
Wow, that is
so
great.
They're depending on me to keep the income level up where they can do things.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole point. And but you've got to be properly planned. And so that's where you come in, and that's where you take these policies that people sell. You turn that into an investment opportunity. You turn it into a tool that people can use to grow their wealth. But you've got to get started. You've got to do this over several years. You can't just, you know, be 6 months away from retirement, think you might be able to make it and say, oh, let me just invest in this policy over here and I'll retire next week. That's not how this works. You have to plan, and you have to do this over a number of years, get into a number of different policies. And so I think people need to know that going in, that this is it has wonderful effects, it has wonderful benefits, but it's something you've got to really plan for, and you really have to get started.
Well, and another thing, another way they can do it, if they bring a lump sum. And I have a lot of people do that. They say, okay, Faye, you know, I didn't start with you earlier, but I've got $500,000 here. I'm going to bring it over, and we're going to get started together. Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, you know, I'm going to line those policies out, keep them moving, and it won't matter that they retire, because we're going to go on doing this forever. You know, it's not going to be just getting ready to retire. He's already there. He's going to retire. So, I've got several people that way. So what we did, we took a lump sum. Some of it was $1 million, some of them 700, some five, and we just put that money to work. And now they're going to just live off that interest and go right on doing what they're going to do. And it won't interrupt anything. So that's another way to do it. But the other people, like you're talking about, 55, 60, we need to get them started right away.
So,
and no procrastination. We haven't been talking about procrastinators lately. No. We have so many men that procrastinate, and you know, they'll wait 3 months, 6 months, or 9 months, and then they finally show up at my door. I had somebody come, a month ago, and the guy said, you know, I talked to you last year. I mean, it was a long time ago. He said, but I'm ready to get this done now.
Really?
And I go, well, okay. And he's selling his business, and now he wants to get started. He should have done this probably, you know, before, but, you know, it just didn't work out that way. So we can't do anything to you. Bring us the money and say, I'm ready. It's your decision. It's not mine. So, you know, we know what we can do. They can look at our website, at everybody, at what they've made the last 2 or 3 years. And that tells them the story. How many policies came in early, how many came on time, and how many were late. And, you know, we've done it this year just like we have every other year. We take every policy that's come in, we look at it, and see how many were early. And so far we've had 2 late ones this year.
That's it.
But this is lately that matured that were late. Now, we have several that are late right now. We're waiting for those to come in. And but, you know, they are credited, so they can stand, you know, it going over.
There's still a huge... No, when you say they come in late, there's still a massive profit margin in here. It's not that, you know, anybody's investment is wiped out and it's gone. There is still a very, very large profit margin. All we're talking about is having to pay a little bit of premium here and there. It may go against the profit, but there's still large amount of profit to be made on these investments that do come in late, right?
That's exactly right. It's not going to wipe them out. We have some older policies that the premiums are still a little bit high. But most of the others are all, you know, as I said, we sent out premium notices the other day, and some of them were $49. And then we had some that were $1,000, some $1,600. But everybody is getting their premium paid. I didn't realize some people had neglected to pay their premiums, and I paid them all. And so then when I realized, I said, well, my gosh, let's get the premium notices sent out. Let's get everybody to pay us. And they did.
Mm.
So that helped a lot.
Okay. Because I think sometimes people hear, oh, they're coming in late and then there's no profit. So if somebody's, you know, saying, say you've got a 24-month policy, you've got $100,000 into it, you're looking at a $24,000 profit. If somebody has to pay a premium of $49, you do the math.
I mean, that's right. But it might be 2,000.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. But there's still a lot of profit, you know. It's not as if it's going to, like you said, it's not going to wipe out their profit.
Right. And if say it is a couple thousand and somebody only makes 22,000 as opposed to 24 on a particular investment, 22,000 is better than nothing.
That is exactly right. And, you know, we talked about last week, that little policy came due. You know, it was 30% profit, and it came in early. And I go, my gosh, that's a great deal. So if anybody had one that went over, if they were in that policy, you know, they made a lot of profit last week. Now, it hadn't paid yet. It'll be 6 to 8 weeks, and everybody always gets anxious. You know, somebody sent me an email the other day. Well, it's been about 6 weeks, yes. It may be another 2 weeks. But these insurance companies pay, you know, pretty quick, and it just takes time to get all the paperwork into them, and then they immediately send a check. We've never had trouble with an insurance company because, as you know, they have to be A-rated companies. They're A to AA-rated companies. You know, we wanted to do that policy with Genworth, but, you know, Genworth has been downgraded. It's like a B-plus now, so we cannot do business with them. So, you know, we look every time a policy that we're looking at comes over my desk, we look to see what the ratings are immediately.
Everything is checked and rechecked.
And we do this policy. Yes, we have to. It's just like rechecking the LA. We recheck that life expectancy 4 to 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I may say, you know, I need time to think about it. You know, I need time to go over something. And then if it's straightforward and I know it like the back of my head, I say, no, I want to do this one right now. I know what how it'll turn out. So we just have to work all these things together to make the people some profit.
Okay.
And cool. That's our goal.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we always get into trivia. And I don't know if you, sometimes you bring in things to do. Sometimes it's interesting facts. What are we talking about today?
It's a place I want you to visit. I want you to put this on your bucket list.
All right.
Okay. It's Fort Clark. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Fort Clark.
I have not, no.
Okay. Fort Clark is no longer a fort, but it started out in the early 1800s. They were looking for a place between San Antonio and El Paso. They needed a place that they could secure from the Indians and all the bandits and all this sort of thing. So they found this place, Mulberry Springs. It was the headwaters of Lost Morris Creek. And these guys told their superiors, said, we believe that it's real high ground here above this spring. It'd be a great placement for a fort. And it was really a good place. So this was right after the American and Mexican Wars. After those were over, they needed a fort. They had a lot of forts, but they didn't have one, you know, right there on the road to protect people. And the Indians were giving them heck. And this was like 1852. And so they put all these soldiers down here. These were infantrymen. These were horse soldiers. And they named it to start with Riley Fort, Bennett C. Riley and his mounted men. And then Riley came along. He said, look, let's name this fort after Major John B. Clark. He was killed in the 1st Infantry during the Mexican-American War in 1847. So they named it after Colonel Major John B. Clark. So then they were doing pretty good. And then the Indians were overrunning everybody. They were coming from Mexico. They were coming on this side. So they went to the governor, Elisha Peace, and said, look, we need some Texas Rangers. You know, everybody's always said Texas Rangers could do anything. So they called upon them and said, look, you've got to come down here and help us. So they sent two companies of Texas Rangers to Fort Clark, and they were assisting the others in patrolling that road. And the road in the town was named Brackett in 1856, and this was renamed later Brackettville, and that's what it is today. It's close to Brackettville. So in 1873, they received a government post office. Can you believe we had post offices back in 1873.
That's like the Pony Express days.
It was. And then it became a stop on the San Antonio-El Paso Road stagecoach. And then somebody went and visited in 1876, and he said, "My gosh, it's the liveliest burg in West Texas." He said it could be compared to the saloons and gambling that existed in the gold rush.
Wow.
Yeah. So they were trying to stop all these Indians. They were coming over. They were raiding at night. They were killing a lot of people. Then in 1861, the leader of the had 18 Confederate troops down there. They accepted the surrender of the fort, and they were garrisoned there with four companies. And it was not without tension, let me tell you. The Union soldiers were at the base, and they cut the flagpole down, and they said, "There will never be a flag on the Confederates in Texas."
Cool.
So they burned the barracks down.
Oh.
Can you imagine? Burned the whole dadgum thing down.
Dang it.
Yeah, these people were pretty dadgum serious.
Wow, I guess so.
So, again, the fort was, you know, having to be protected. And then, of course, you know, they had other forts. They had one at Fort Griffin. They had one at Concho. They had one at Fort Stockton, Fort Davis, all these others. And, of course, they had these Seminole Indian scouts, and they were headquartered at Fort Clark, and they were there from 1870 to 1914. And then, of course, after all of this, we come down to World War II. Again, this fort was used to send people to the Pacific, and we also had German soldiers there, and most people don't know that. But we did. We had the German soldiers there. And then, and as I said, in World War II, the people were sent to the Pacific from there. And then, during the war, it went on to 1946, and they said, okay, we're going to get rid of Fort Clark.
Really?
And so in early 1946, it was decommissioned. It was sold to the Texas Railway Equipment Company, which was a subsidiary of Brown and Root. And I didn't tell you one of the most interesting things of this whole thing. This was thousands of acres. And Colonel Maverick owned all this land, and he leased all this for this fort at $600 a year. $600 a year.
I'm sure back then it was probably a big deal, but it just sounds ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
now.
I mean $600 a year. Now let me tell you what has happened to Fort Clark. This is the part you're going to like. It has become a big resort, big and nice, and it is so nice. And the other thing is they built a pool there. It's over 300 feet.
Really?
Yeah, way, way back then. And it's the third largest pool in the state of Texas.
Wow.
Yes. And all these things, all these historic things, they have a museum there now that you would need to see. It's great. It's gorgeous. They have a museum. They have all kinds of the things from back then. And this people visited, and they said, it's been there, an oasis for more than 1,000 years by Native Americans and then, of course, the settlers. And it said it's so tranquility there, there's so much tranquility, you can't help but fall in love with it. They say it's immaculate. All these things they used to have, the Buffalo soldiers, there's limestone homes there, which served as grandiose officers' quarters. They lined the road along the camp's former parade grounds. And now they have golf courses there. They have everything. And the buildings date back to 1860, but they look newer.
Really?
And there's a big American flag there to honor Fort Clark. And it's a wonderful place for people to go and see our history and also to enjoy it.
So the buildings, are they original structures?
Oh, yes.
Really?
And, yeah, and then they, the jail they had back in, the post office, a lot of these things you can still see. And it's 68 degrees around the year there.
Really?
Yeah, it's on the Edwards Plateau. And the other thing, they have whitetail, they have foxes, they have hawks, javelinas, wild turkeys, rare birds, and the golden-checked warbler's also there.
Ooh.
And there's hike and biking trails that meander along Los Moros Creek and along the ruins and the structures that house the German prisoners of war in the 40s.
Wow. So there's...
And the Forts Museum, the guardhouse is still there. They have uniforms that they've kept. There's photographs. And then there's about 10,000 people a year that actually get to see all this because they do go there. And the barracks now serve as a renovated Fort Clark Motel.
Wow.
So you can go there and stay in it. And most people say they just can't resist the water, and they'll swim and swim there.
So you can actually stay in the barracks, which is now a hotel.
It's now a hotel.
Wow, how cool is that?
It's really cool. I visited Fort Clark years ago and stayed there. And I wanted you to be able to see Fort Clark and all the memories and the museum, and then to enjoy it. You can play golf. It's just staying at the motel. Everybody says it takes them back so many years.
So there's not only just the history, but you've also got activities, you know, golfing and things to do. And they've really built this up into something special.
They really have. And I thought about it this week, and I said, I'd forgot about Fort Clark. And as I said, it's down at Brackettville, South Texas, a good place to visit. I think you'll really enjoy it. You'll enjoy it for all the things. You know, I didn't remember that there was prisoners of war put at Fort Clark. I didn't remember that.
In the 40s?
Yeah. But I did remember the other things. I remembered that they were having so much trouble with Indians that they sent the Texas Rangers to help salvage that.
Wow, those Texas Rangers, man, they're some tough dudes.
They are the toughest dudes in the world. And I love it because they burned the fort down when they were going to have to let those people in.
Yeah.
They said, you're not putting your flag at Fort Clark, let me tell you.
Well, I'll take care of that situation.
Yeah, so they just burned everything down. And remember, this was early 1800s, about 1810, when all this started.
Man.
And it just went right on through. And then, you know, World War II came along, and they sent, I think, 12,000 troops from there to Europe for the war. And then in 1946, they said everything's over, and they just decommissioned it and sold it to that company that was part of Brown and Root, my gosh. And they became a famous company.
Wow.
So there's just so much history in Texas. You know, a teacher could virtually take a group of kids all year long and go to all the things that as history lessons, and you wouldn't ever have to even go to school. You could just go to all the things that make Texas what it really is.
Now, that got some people's attention, I'm sure. You'll never have to go to school.
Yeah, I mean, I love that idea. But, you know, there's so much. I don't even know if kids are taught all these things anymore.
Oh, there's no way they could be. There just isn't time. There's too much Texas history, I'm sure, to squeeze everything in. You could spend a whole lifetime learning everything.
I think so. And used to... a Texas history book was large. I mean, really thick. And I don't know if it's all online now or not, but there's just so much to enjoy about our history. It's an amazing state.
Yeah, it really is. Well, so much history. And I bet, you know, making a trip down to Fort Clark, I bet that would be like just transporting back into history. I bet that would be amazing because it's one thing to see these things, but it's another one to actually, you know, interact with it, you know, stay at the barracks, you know, see these artifacts, you know, look at the photographs and see real things that were alive then, see the original structures. I just bet it's just absolutely fascinating.
Yes, I think so. And there were so many different troops that were stationed there, you know, from time to time. And Mexico was mad, you know, because they had just gone through the Texas-Mexican war, and then we were running over there to get those Indians.
Yeah.
And it upset them. They were mad that we were invading them again to get the Indians that were causing so much havoc. And there was three tribes It was the Apaches, the Arapaho, and the Kickapoo that were just invading Texas and, killing people.
Yeah.
And that was a stagecoach route, and so it was important that we maintain Fort Clark and that we didn't let them overrun that part of Texas.
So many different eras with so much history in one place. It's fascinating.
I think it really is, and I hope that you'll put that on your bucket list and do it.
Fort Clark, it's on my bucket list as of now.
All right, very good.
This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, let me ask you a question I don't know that I've asked you before. If somebody's in a good position to go ahead and retire, they've got enough assets, they have enough money to go ahead and retire comfortably, but maybe in 5 or maybe more like 10 years, it might start to get a little bit shaky. If somebody was to start investing in like a life settlement type of situation like this, if they were to start investing at retirement, would that take care of their post-retirement life?
It's going to depend how much we've got to work with.
Right.
If they've got enough right now to retire, as long as we're not getting into the principal, they should be comfortable, because you don't want them getting that principal. We want to keep, and a lot of people keep $100,000 to $200,000 in cash, at all times for emergencies. Some people don't keep a 50, but a lot of people have a lot of different investments, so. Lots of times they won't have to touch this for 5 years. I've got people right now that say, Fay, I do not need to make a draw for at least 4 to 5 years because I've got other money. And if they have other money, we can amass more interest for them that they can use at a later time, and that could keep them from ever, having any problem.
So if somebody has enough assets to go ahead and live on and they don't need to touch it, this is just considered quote-unquote extra money. If it's in the right places, then you can just basically, instead of letting it sit there idle, you can take that extra money and you can grow it, and they don't even have to worry about where it is, touching it, anything. Instead of doing nothing, they're growing it.
That's exactly right. And the more we can grow this money without needing it, it really makes it a great deal. I mean, it's so nice to know that, that you're going to have every year, $50,000 coming in, or $100,000, or, whatever. And as these policies mature, we're just going to do it over and over. It's a heck of a deal when you can reinvest it every couple of years, and the money keeps coming in, and we're just putting it in your account.
Mm-hmm.
And, reinvesting. And we may only be investing, the principal. We may just put the interest in there and leave it. And sometimes they'll say, no, put it all back in and do it again. And we do when they ask to.
Okay. So this is really, if all the money is in and you don't need to touch it, it's just sitting there and it's growing, that'll put it on a fast track to maybe grow your wealth a little bit faster. But generally speaking, this is the type of thing, it takes time. Any investment really takes time. If you're looking for fast, then you're really looking for luck. And that's very different than an investment.
That's right. And, this is a conservative investment. We're not going to make you rich overnight. You can't do that. People may tell you that on some investments, but we're not going to tell you that. It isn't going to happen. But doing it conservatively, just reinvesting every year, the money that comes in, you'll have plenty to live on.
So somebody to do this investment, they have to be accredited. What type of person?
They need
what are the
to be accredited. Okay. They need to either. It's an either or. You can have an income of $200,000 a year, or you need to be worth $1 million without your home. You can count your 401k, your IRAs, your annuities, everything you've got you can count. So everything but your home. You can count your vacation home, your lake house, all kinds of things, your ranches, whatever, but just not your home that you live in, okay?
Your main residence.
Main residence.
Okay. So for somebody who is not accredited, and maybe they have a little bit, you know, put away. Maybe they've got 50,000. You know, there's a number of different scenarios. But somebody who is not accredited, you still want to go ahead and plan. It's not that everything is doom and gloom and, oh my goodness, I'm not accredited, so I might as well just, you know, throw in the towel. I'm never going to retire. That's not the case. We want everybody to retire. So there are other types of programs. There are other opportunities to plan for retirement. What other options are there?
Well, there's annuities, and annuities are just a really safe investment. Annuities are backed by the assets of large life insurance companies, and these are like 2 billion, 4 billion, you know, really large life insurance companies. They're the only one that can write you an annuity. But annuities are great. You can take 10% a year out of an annuity. You can buy a walk-away annuity that you can walk away in 7 or 10 years. There's a lot of things you can do with an annuity. All kinds of investing with an annuity. You can buy one that is just going to be a fixed rate, like 3.85 a year for 5 years or 7 years, and that's a walk away. Or you can get the ones that have a profit potential in there, and that's the ones I always like to do. They have a great profit potential. They can't go down. You can't lose your principal, so I like annuities a lot.
Okay, so there's a number of different options for just about anybody. If somebody's not growing their money, they're losing money. Is that a fair assessment, or is that going too far?
That's right. You're sitting still. If you're just talking about it all the time, a year will pass, another year, and you won't have accomplished anything. Mm-hmm. We need to accomplish something if we're going to retire happy anyway.
Yeah.
And wealthy, it takes strategy. You have to work at it. So all these people that procrastinate all the time, quit procrastinating, come talk to me. Let's see if we can work out something for your family.
The key is planning, and the key is getting started. And once somebody starts, gets the ball rolling, you'll take care of the heavy work. You'll do all the heavy lifting. You'll do the hard work. People don't have to necessarily do anything, but they do need to come and talk to you. At least, you know, gather up their assets, find out where they're at, find out when they want to retire, what kind of trajectory do people need to be on. You know, kind of get a little bit of an idea of a starting point. And come see you, you'll take care of the rest, but they have to take that first step.
That's right. It's up to them. You know, we're not one of these companies that's going to be calling them and all this. We want them to call us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you call us and say, Faye, I'm ready. I need an appointment. Claudia is right there, and she'll help you. She helps all of our clients. Everybody loves Claudia because when they need something, they pick up the phone. They say, I'm a client. I need this, Claudia, so I'll get right on it. And she does. And she interacts every day with our clients.
Yes.
As many as we have. She's always on point. The Dallas office, if you need help other than what Claudia can provide, they'll help you with anything you need.
Yeah, Claudia is really great.
Claudia is great. Claudia's been with us a long time now, and we appreciate her, and she does a good job.
So,
and now everybody heard me say that this morning. They're going to tell Claudia. I know they will. I didn't think about that. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's nice. It's nice anyway to hear.
Yeah, so, and she'll say, Faye, I need a raise.
You may have just dug yourself a hole.
That's right. Oh, man.
So for somebody who's ready to come in and they've decided, okay, I'm tired of losing money. I need to start making money. What should they do today before they come see you next week?
They need to gather up everything that I need to look at, the assets, whether it's old annuities, whether it's a 401k, whether it's an IRA, whatever they want me to look at, let me look at it, and we'll make a decision.
Okay. And you've got availability for appointments this coming week, right?
Yes.
All right. One last time, Faye, what is your office phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.